Thanks to your prayers, thanks to you for your support and encouragement and concern, my throat is better. It's good to see everyone. We appreciate all of you being here this morning. It would be great to take time. I wish I had it to just go to everybody's house and sit down for an hour or so and visit. But we do thank you for being here. But most of all, we're so grateful that we're in Christ and that we have that hope after this life that there will be no hoarseness, there will be no sadness, and there will be no disappointment. In the matter of last things, we have come to the point of our lesson, my accountability at the last day. I'm going to deviate just a little from some of the things that, because we'll talk about a class, more or less in a class setting, and I'm using this because of the video, I guess, and the CD, and a place that I can sup whatever I need to keep my throat going. Responsibility. My accountability will really be determined by how I accept my individual responsibility. If I could refer you to the bulletin, we will read more extensively this morning in Matthew 25, verses 41 through 46. Accountability and responsibility ultimately go inseparably. And when I say that, the accountability in Matthew 25, verse 31 through 46, was tied to those who were responsible and those who did not accept responsibility. We are living in an age in which accountability and responsibility sometimes depends on who you are and what you're doing and where you are as to how responsible that you're going to have to be. But I can tell you, in God's arrangement, it will be the little things that will catch most of us, that we were responsible for, and that we could do, that we didn't do, that we knew what to do, but just didn't do it. And that's alarming. Everyone who goes to hell, and I'll repeat this probably, goes by choice and not by chance. So one's responsibility. Several years ago, sometime around 93, so that's been almost two decades ago, and I suspect that it has changed drastically, they took a survey at Northwestern School of Education of 500 ministers, just a broad group of those who preached for churches, of various religious groups. And they asked some questions. Do you deny or do you affirm? And regarding the judgment, there will be a judgment. To these ministers, deny the judgment or approve?
39%
denied there's going to be a judgment. The reason we do not hear very much preaching on the fundamental things that's going to determine where we spend eternity is because that humanity fundamentally has not responded and is broadening opinions, is broadening facts, is stretching, I don't know if you could do this, but is stretching truth. Now, if 39%, that means 4 out of every 10, you can get it down so you can understand it. 4 out of every 10 deny there's going to be a judgment, which means that 4 out of 10 deny that you and I are accountable. That at some point in time, when we are judged, whatever we did, 4 of those 10 would tell you it does not make much difference. That's one of the reasons in our next address that the proposition of hell fire punishment is taken so lightly because people simply do not believe in it. Now, on the other end of the line, only 61% affirm that there's going to be a judgment. That's 6 out of every 10. If we have 100 people here, that means that only about 60 of them believe that there's going to be a judgment, a time that I'm going to be held accountable and that you're going to be held accountable. And if you can prove to our little children who are growing up, and preachers are not preaching these kinds of sermons anymore, when is the last time that you've heard a sermon, an entire sermon on hell? Been a long time, I suspect. Now, the Bible pictures, there's two places to go, heaven and hell. Somebody said that nowadays, all that you need to do is to go to heaven is just die. Doesn't matter what you've done. If you listen to funerals, if you listen to read in the papers, people that would not even consider going to church are in heaven. But does that weigh in with what the good book says? No, it doesn't. Now, it gets worse. They ask this question. We should teach students judgment is coming. How many deny that? That we should teach, the question is asked, we should teach students judgment is coming. 52% deny it. No, you don't need to teach it. That's essentially 1 out of every 2. Now we're going to read in the next session from a man that changed a position about these last things. And it seeps in, it has permeated the thinking in liberal schools among our brethren. Now I'm talking about the church. I'm not talking about denominations. I'm not talking about Yale, Harvard, or anything. I'm talking about Freed Hardeman. I'm talking about Lipscomb. I'm talking about Pepperdine. Any of these groups, it has permeated in some areas these various things. And I will read you from the book, and you can read it if you would like afterwards. 52% deny that we should teach students that there's a coming judgment. Why are our buildings empty part of the time? Why is it so difficult to get people to come? Listen to this. The simple thing to meet on the first day of the week and to eat the Lord's Supper and to sing and to pray. Why is that so difficult? It isn't. But the problem is, there is a segment that does not believe that that is necessary to please our Lord. Now, we're not talking about pleasing the preacher. We're not talking about meeting the budget. We're not talking about paying for our property. We're talking about, what does God want me to do? And I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters, I really believe that if you would pin up somewhere in your house, and I see Brother James Fox back there, and I still believe in those refrigerator verses, like you put the pictures. We've got pictures, and then we have little sayings, and we have plaques and things that were given to us over the sink. 30 years ago, somebody gave us a plaque, our family, a plaque that says the best way that a father can show love to his children is love their mother. And so when I wash dishes, there it is. And nowadays, I do wash them often. Not because that I am henpecked, but because it's needed. Doris can barely reach the dishwasher. Well, we have a dishwasher, but she can barely reach that. So sometimes you have to do those things. But it's there. And it's about responsibility. Now, only 48% affirm that we ought to teach our children there's a judgment. Now, let me tell you why this affects us. It gets into the companies that print our Bible class material. You listening? You see where I'm headed? They're making lessons that are fuzzy about some facts and about some places. And it's not anything wrong with it. But they're shying away from it is responsible. If you steal somebody's pencil, you've done the wrong thing. And there ought to be a correction of it. 48% believe that. Now, when that's the case, what do you think our books are going to be built around? Our vacation Bible schools are going to be built around. And now, a number of preachers that I know in the church, since we're Christians, most everyone here, get their sermons off the internet. I believe that it was less than a dollar that Brother Wayne Jackson's commentary was sold by a preacher just north of Tupelo. We're talking about in the South, Tupelo, Mississippi. It was in Boonville. This young preacher decided to move, and so he sold the book of Acts. One of our members at Gloucester Street in Tupelo said that there was a garage sale and they sold it. They don't need that good information anymore. Now, he's not the only one. Max Licato, who probably nearly 20 years ago took the name Church of Christ off the church building where he preached in San Antonio, Texas, became a writer, and he regularly appears on AFA radio that I listen to. And like I say, there were some good things. But there's a lot of false doctrine. You know what he calls himself? Pastor. And they address him pastor. And he'll tell you that baptism is not necessary to save. It's a first work that you do after you're saved. And our brethren spent millions of dollars. He's now got some 20 books that sold a million copies. He's a millionaire. He doesn't have to ask anybody. Several years ago, Brother Danny Sagadraka called me. We were there doing mission work, as you know, when we were here, and you're still doing it, and God bless you for doing that, in Kauai. And he said, here's a book. I looked at it, and this was at least 20 years ago, 25 perhaps. I looked at it, and the first thing that I look, when you look at a book, thumb through it, and see if the writer and the author quotes any verses, a religious book, from the good book. And if they don't, you can have it for a good time, for a munching, but you can't have that for a study, because this is the only place. The scriptures are the only thing. Listen to this. All scriptures are inspired of God. All of them. And they are profitable. Number one, for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that God's man may be complete. That's what completes, rounds out an individual who is a Christian, who is preparing himself or herself to go to heaven. And that's our objective. Let me give you a quote. This I did get from the internet. From Daniel Webster. You've heard of him. The statesman Daniel Webster. In the early part of the settlement of America. And here's what he said. The most important thought that ever occupied my mind is that of individual responsibility. Now let that soak in a minute. That of individual responsibility. Each of us will give an account of the deeds done in our bodies. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, the apostle exhorted in strong fashion, in view of what he had just said, that the Lord is coming, verse 10. Everything is going to melt with fervent heat and the elements, and there will be nothing else. But then he said, as he concluded, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The way we grow is take nourishment, fundamentally simple, and exercise. And without nourishment, you're not going to get very far. Without exercise, virtually everything will freeze up. You think about it. You take your arm that you could, were strong enough perhaps, to one-handed reach down and pick up 100 pounds. That's strong. You put that arm in a swing and you do not use it for a long period of time, and then you try to pick up that 100 pounds. Nourishment comes from this, for the lack of knowledge, God's people went into captivity, Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Because of ignorance, they were destroyed, Hosea 4 and verse 6. And so, when we do not study, it is imperative that when I arise from the water grave of baptism, that I have a balanced diet of scriptural reading, memorization, and examination. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word of God and searched the Scriptures daily to see whether the things said be so. Acts 17 and verse 11. About 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I guess it was 3 years ago, I had concluded a meeting over in Alabama. And Doris needed a prescription, and so I went down to the drugstore at night to get one. And in there was a brother that I worshiped with on Sunday at Gloucester Street. I said, "George, what are you doing here?" "Well," he said, "I need something because I'm just not well." They thought he was bitten by a little shark while they were vacationing. It was in the summertime in July or August, July, on vacation. And so that Friday evening, he got the prescription. Within a few hours, he was in the emergency room. He was diagnosed with Guillain-Barré. Maybe I'd heard of it, but I didn't know what it was. You go all the way down, they said, to the bottom. They didn't know whether he was going to make it. I didn't think he would. I went to the hospital. He was in ICC. He was on a ventilator. And they clapped when they were just able to take that off. He stayed in the hospital from the end of July, first day of August, till sometime around, I believe it was the 5th of October. But now, here's what I want to tell you. He couldn't feed himself. His wife fed him. He could not open his eyes. I did not know this kind of disease very well. But he began to open his eyes. He began to feed himself. Instead of them picking his hand up or picking his leg up and setting him up, he began to work around so he could get up. And after several days, one time he got in rehab, he began to set up. And then he began to walk on a walker. He was 39 or so. George went in to the rehab people. And after he had taken his rehab, he begged them to let him do more. And I went in to see him a time or so, and he was literally exhausted. He wanted to do more exercise. Just the little thing that was going to help him get over. Now, I said that to say this. Some people, when they're baptized, they never eat. And they're never going anywhere. They never study the Scriptures. They never attend Bible classes. They're never going anywhere. And he was a marathon runner. What's that, 26 miles? It wasn't anything for him to run 10 miles around the house. But he couldn't do that then. But right now, 36 months later, because he exercised, he's able to run again. I don't know how much. When you obey the gospel, brothers and sisters, young men the church here needs everybody. We're not talking about just the ones that can do the job. We're talking about people who want to train. This is the best place in the world. I'll tell you why. We are now in a congregation of about 250. Now, because of my personal interest, I'm doing all that I can do. I have sent 100 30-minute radio broadcasts to Wasilla, Alaska, since I've been away. And one of the elders said they wanted me to start again. I dropped off a little in September. They hired someone, but they said we're not satisfied, and we want to know how many called me since I've been here to see if I would continue doing it. I spent about 16 hours doing one. Stephen spends about an hour to an hour and a half editing the lesson so that 25 minutes will hopefully impress. There have been people that actually came to Wasilla. One man walked in, he said, "I want to see that preacher." And one of the elders said, well, he turned it over to another man. He said, "Well, you're going to have to tell him that he doesn't live here." But it's important that we study. In a large congregation, I speak on a Wednesday night, and one of the men told me that, or one of the preachers, we have 5 elders and 11 deacons, and he said, "You're on standby," and he said, "I might call you at any time for a Wednesday evening class." I teach a class on Sunday morning, share it with another preacher who is like me, in and out. But it's important for folks to train. If you are a young Christian, and here's one of the best places. Why? Because it's a relatively small congregation. You know what you can do? Every Sunday, you can be a part of it. Go ask Bob. I still feel at home. Say, "I want to do something. I want to read a scripture. I want to help on the Lord's table." And show up, be responsible. We're talking about responsibility. Because you need to do that. Young ladies, help in these little classes. There's always a plenty to do. Cut out material. Memorize the Bible verses, and you help the little kids memorize their verse. And be here early to welcome them, to show them their classroom. There's a plenty of things you can do. The older sisters don't need to worry about this. Train the younger girls. Here you can do it. In a large congregation, it's so large you get lost. You know what happens? You get comfortable doing nothing. Just to come in and sit down. Now, how do I know that? Because I know that it's a temptation. And I'm only 49. If I'm not doing something, I don't know whether I'm needed or not. I walk in and I tell Tony, "My name is not on the list, but if you need me, I can do something." And there'll be people come up and they'll run out and say, "Okay, come in, I need you for this or need you for that." I'll lead a prayer, lead singing. We have 5 preachers in that congregation, counting me. Three of them work there. We have a daily television program. Comes on twice a day, Monday through Friday. A radio program at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Chad writes, and some of you use this, but you don't know that I know the author. The Gospel Advocate Quarterly. In fact, I think Pacifica used to use it. Printed in Nashville, Tennessee, the Adult Quarterly. Chad writes it. And I know and hear the lesson before you ever get them out this way. Scholarly. You see, in a large congregation of 250, you do not have the opportunity. But here you can. Now, here's the problem. Accountability is connected to responsibility. And so now, I want to close with reading how dangerous it is to be irresponsible for a little thing. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. And I'm only going to read from verse 34. Then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or athirst and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say to them, verily I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of one of these my brethren, you did it to me. Helping others. So whatever age you are, pick up the paper. Take out the trash cans. Volunteer. I would urge the leadership to ask our young people. Be involved and be a part of. If you're not, you will be picked by somebody else. And likely, that somebody else will be the devil. Because idleness is the devil's workshop. And that's the way he replenishes his activity. He finds people that are not doing something. And he tells them, oh, that's all right. You don't want to, that'll require you getting up early. That'll require you to dress differently. That'll require some preparation. You know, go over here. They don't need you. They got it all. And they'll do this. And you can sit on the back seat. If you need to go to see the 49er game, you can get out of a hurry and go see it. Irresponsible. And then he said to those on the left hand, shall answer and say to them, verily I say to you, inasmuch as you did it, or the right hand, unto the least of one of these you did it unto me. Then shall he say to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angel. For when I was hungry, you did not give me to eat. When I was thirsty, you did not give me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. And in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also say, Lord, did we not see thee hungry, or athirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to thee? Then he will answer them, saying, verily, inasmuch as you did it not unto the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. It's the little things that we are accountable for at the day of judgment. And we must close then with the day of judgment with this verse. I will render to each one according to his works. Romans 2:6. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. As I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So each of us will give an account to God himself. Romans 14:10 and 12. I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead by his appearing, preach the word. 1 Timothy 4:1. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. each one of us shall give an account of himself to the Lord according to the deeds done in his body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And so, get involved. Be responsible, because you will be accountable. And let the Lord know that you appreciate what he's done for you. That night he spent without sleep, and then carried his cross until he fell, and then was nailed to it, and shed his blood, and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He died for me. He gave everything for me. And we're in the comfort of a building. Can we not give something to him? The devil says, no, no, you don't need to do that. Just sort of be irresponsible. Just sort of be incognito. Just sort of be so they can't see you. And go on your happy way, and folks, you'll burst hell wide open. I know that's not a good statement. But please get involved. Find your place in the body of Christ. Anybody got an arm or a hand that you want to go give somebody that's in a car wreck? And just go down to the emergency room and say, you know, I'm not using this hand. Or here's one of my eyes. You don't do things that way. Now, there are people who are willing to do that. In fact, we have people in the audience that may have done that. There's nothing wrong with doing that when there's a need. But you see, we are not giving a lot to the Lord. And thereby, we are not responsible. And if I'm not responsible at the day of accountability, the Lord was going to say, Wendell, I don't know you. I can't preach as I used to. Can't do the same as I used to. But what I can do, I have an obligation to do before God, not to anybody particular. It's appointed to men once to die, and then comes the judgment, the accountability. You think about it. If you need to obey the gospel or you need to be baptized, at least a little over 3 years ago, it was standing policy that in between services, if you said you wanted to be baptized, Brother Steele can tell you. He walked in the door, and before we started preaching, we took care of that matter a few years ago. You think about it. And you go tell these men that I'll help. Young ladies, you go tell. The church needs everybody in the body. Every local congregation. And the congregation needs you here. Don't just go where it's easy and no responsibility. Go where you can serve your master. And you will be happy that you did. Thank you. Let's have a prayer.